Good Monday afternoon to you. Welcome in to Relentless Positive Radio. We're here, and the team is back together again. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, checking in and doing just fine. Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, and Rich Luzinski, who keeps track of the WJR traffic and weather first. Happy birthday to you if it's your birthday. I want to always make sure that I remember to tell you happy birthday, so you always have somebody who is looking out for you and wishing you a happy day. Everybody okay? And everybody have a nice weekend. Did you have a nice weekend, Danielle?
Yeah, it was all right, you know.
That's not very enthusiastic.
It was all right.
Oh, I there's a story, and I'm going to go right to it right now. You were going to meet your mother at some kind of a festival or something.
Yes.
But then there was a teen takeover. So you're the first person I have been able to talk to who has been somehow affected by these bizarre teen takeovers. Tell me about it.
It was really weird. It was so weird. I showed up to, it was the Dearborn Heights Spirit Festival. And apparently this is not like a new thing to this festival. I don't know. So I'm walking up, it's 9:17. And as I'm walking, the fireworks are going off at 10. As I'm walking there, it's floods and floods of people. And I'm talking to my boyfriend. I'm like, this doesn't look right. Like, this isn't normal. Like, look how many people are leaving. He's like, oh, it's families. It's families. I'm like, no, this is weird. All of a sudden, cops fly by. And I'm like, see, that's not normal either. I call my mom. She's already in there. And I said, Mom, what's going on in there? And she was like, oh, the band, they're on a break. And I was like, no, Mom, what's going on there? She goes, oh, it's really weird. All these kids in black, they're walking around in groups, and then the police will come with tasers and run past them. It's the strangest thing, but come on down. I was like, Mom, no. No, I'm not. No. And she's like, it's fine. The band's about to come back on. All of a sudden, you hear in the background, all right, guys, party's over. And my mom's like, wait, why? I don't know, Mom, because there's a teen takeover happening. And as we were like, walking back, we were looking on the rooftops, and there were police officers on the rooftops. They had rifles out.
Oh,
they were searching the crowd. A bunch of kids told us not to go in because they had guns in there. I was like, oh no, I cannot. No. So we left there.
What is going on?
It was so weird. It was so weird. My mom was terrified. It took her an hour to get to the car because they were trying to disperse the kids up. But they couldn't do it. The sirens were constantly going off. Her and all of her old friends, they were all huddled together. And I just, like, heard the fear in her voice. Like, oh, my God.
This is terrible.
It was terrifying. And I, like, we were already almost home. But I stayed on the phone until she got into the car. Because you don't know. Because at one point, I heard screaming and yelling. I didn't know what was going on. And she was just like, we got to go. So I don't know what was going on there, to be honest.
Dearborn Heights Spirit Festival shut down.
Yes.
Apparently, from what you can tell, a teen takeover.
Yep. From what I saw, a teen takeover.
What the heck? Parsons, what's going on here?
I don't know. I just got back to work. That was an incredible story. Sounds like these teen takeovers are spilling out. You know, we first heard about them in downtown Detroit, and they started off peacefully, but then it sounds like, you know, the more people get involved, the probability of bad actors messing it up for everyone increase.
Okay, well, we'll wait to see if we can get more information, but when I spoke to Danielle earlier off air, I thought, ooh, we've got to tell that story on the air, and I'm glad that she did, because I've heard about these things. I haven't talked to anybody who experienced it. Now we just heard from our own Danielle Mason, and she and her mother just experienced it, and it's a frightening thing, and it's got to stop. We don't need intimidation. We don't need anybody to cause fear for people, especially people who are out with their family to have a good time. I mean, come on, what's going on? What's the point here? Let me switch gears. The Knicks' first championship in 53 years, that, for a guy who's not that sports-oriented other than, like, Michigan football, I love and always will, I hope. Well, I don't know with NIL and all the rest of it, but that the portal, forget it. Why'd I say that in the first place? But as far as sports go and championships and games had to be one of the most exciting series of games I've ever seen in any sport. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, especially what was game four, that last second tip-in by OG Anunoby.
Coming back 29 points down.
Yeah, you know what? There is a stat I saw that the Spurs led the series like 72% of the time, and they still lost in five. This kind of shows you the...
You know, it's the Jimmy Greek thing, the last 5 minutes of the game. How many times in the last 5 minutes did we hear the announcer say, well, this is the first time the Knicks have had the lead in this whole game?
Right.
I mean, it was like, what?
And I think they said that the Knicks came back from 20 down like five different times throughout the playoffs.
Crazy.
So
crazy.
They've earned it.
So the New Yorkers took to the streets.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there were many arrests, unfortunately. I don't know when it started happening. People used to riot when they lost. Now they riot win, lose, or draw. And they just use it as an excuse. Those people should be locked up and put away forever and taken out of the gene pool. Now, I could not get Paramount Plus on my... I wasn't going to pay $8.95 a month. I think we already had it.
Right.
I just couldn't get it to work on my television because I don't have the kids around, and Kim, neither Kim, but she was on the phone with me trying to get it to work. And that's when you have to do these things, you know, on a little keyboard on the screen, and it's so annoying.
Right, it's not worth it after a while.
And in the end, after three or four attempts, I said, screw it. It's not worth it. I don't care. But I understand. I won't quote the person. Well, I'll quote her, but I won't say who it was. Said it was very well produced and very well done. She, too, was just tuning in to see what it was all about and what was going to happen. It's a cage fight. I don't know what else they call it. It's a cage fight, right? They do it in a cage.
Yeah, mixed martial arts. And I was the same way, Paul. I'm like, okay, if I have a Paramount Plus subscription, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to pay the subscription fee to do it. So, and the thing is, I haven't heard a ton of buzz about it. I think, like, there's a few thousand on the lawn, and
you're not going to hear much because the primary institutional media hates President Trump, and they're not. This was his birthday party, basically. This is what he wanted for his birthday. In no way, shape, or form was it good for the country for the 250th anniversary. I don't want to be thought of as, well, happy 250th. Let's watch some men beat the hell out of each other.
Some
wrestling. That's fun.
Some wrestling on the lawn.
Yeah, well, and if it was just wrestling on the lawn, that'd be one thing. But it's head bashing, face smashing. It's just bad. And then I see Paris. Paris just held their first sumo wrestling tournament in 30 years.
Wow.
What in the world is going on here?
So winner of the cage fight in America faces the winner of the French sumo wrestling tournament.
I guess. Well, listen, if they can make money off of it, they'll come up with it. They'll make money off of it. You know, I keep hearing that commercial we run. The guy goes, I move mountains for a living, so you know I don't carry hand lotion. Excuse me. What does moving mountains for a living have to do with taking good care of your skin?
Maybe the lotion makes it too slippery to move mountains.
You might slip off pushing the mountain?
Could be.
Oh, my
God. Can't
go
to good grip.
Oh,
I don't know.
That just made me think of a terrible story in the news.
Oh.
Ay, ay, ay. Here's a young girl going bungee jumping.
Yes.
And there are three men there running the bungee jumping. They're not licensed. They're just like you find in all these other countries, people who don't have licenses, follow rules, and all of that. And they threw her off the bridge and then looked at each other, basically saying, I thought you attached the rope. Nobody attached the bungee rope to this poor young lady. And they threw her to her death.
Oh, my gosh.
Off a bridge. And it's on video. And all three of them have been arrested for murder, as well they should be.
Right, good.
But can you imagine? Don't do the bungee jumping.
No
don't
desire.
Don't do the parasailing. Don't do all that stuff in these other countries. They're unlicensed, uninsured, untrained. And this is the sort of thing that can happen. Yeah. I watched the president head off for the G7 summit. he's meeting right now with the French president. But I saw that they were in a place called Evian. It's a longer name, but Evian. And when I used to go around and travel and do the international auto shows, we did the auto show in Geneva, Switzerland, which is right next to Evian. And I thought I did a very clever piece. I was at the Evian fountain, and I'm saying, I'm at the Evian fountain just outside of, you know, Geneva, Switzerland. And, of course, the water I drink is Absol Pure. And I held up the Anne would never let us run that. And she probably was right. It was a shameless commercial plug for Absol Pure. But I thought it was a perfect place to do it. I'm in Evian, France, next to the Evian fountain. And, of course, when I'm in Evian, France, I always drink Absol Pure. Anyway, that's one that never made the air a long time ago. Let's see. We have a peace at the moment with the United States and Iran, but it's not official until Friday, so I wouldn't bet any amount of money that this will last, because Israel will continue to bomb Lebanon if they believe they need to. And that will be one of the sticking points, unfortunately. We'll stay on top of all that. How about this? There's a move afoot to change the deal on the bridge, the Gordie Howe Bridge. Are you kidding me? We agreed to a deal. Now that the bridge is built, we're saying that we're not agreeing to the original deal? It's why I was for the Maroons to build it and not to get the state involved, which caused it to be at least a year later than it should have been. And now we're arguing about the fact we're not going to get the tax benefits, we're not getting the tolls, we're not getting this, we're not getting that for 30 years or whatever it is. Just so predictable. But we'll talk about it coming up here in just a moment. Relentless Positive Radio, it's Focus with Paul W. Smith. On a Monday, hope you had a great weekend and you're hitting the ground running with the rest of us. Well, we've got Rachi. We've got Rocky Rachkowski, the retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army. And why wouldn't we be? Because now we're told the U.S. and Iran scheduled to sign a peace deal on Friday. And I'll say to you, Rocky, I wouldn't bet $10 that that's going to happen.
How about we up that to the mortgage on my house, Paul W.? Great to be on with you. And I got to tell you, the biggest development still in the Mideast today is that the fact that the United States and Iran have announced this alleged, what appears to be the framework of an alleged peace agreement. So the keywords there are appears, framework, and alleged. And we're basically declaring some type of victory over that. I don't trust a single word that comes out of Tehran.
I don't trust a single word they say either. And it's Monday. Do you know how far away Friday is in terms of dealing with the liars of Iran, and that we cannot control and never think we can control Bibi Netanyahu, who will, no matter what the president begs of him, he will always do what he feels is right for Israel. And between now and Friday, if it's right for Israel to bomb some Hezbollah in Lebanon, he's going to do that.
And Paul W., you've got it absolutely correct. What's been happening is Hezbollah, which is a proxy of Iran, is still shooting rockets across into northern Israel. And listen, if that happened to us, we would take some type of action. And President Trump has shown that we've taken action against Iran when they've launched a couple drones that were shot down against us last week. So I don't blame Bibi Netanyahu, and I don't blame the Israelis. And their defense minister, Israel Katz, said it the best. He said that Israel will now withdraw from the security zones in southern Lebanon. And basically, quite frankly, the Lebanese government doesn't want them to do that, Paul W., and Israel intends to continue protecting its northern borders. What's wrong with that? Now, to tie them in to this peace agreement between us and Iran, which allegedly could be a peace agreement that in the next 60 days, we're going to be deciding on what type of nuclear negotiations and the framework for a freeze on further enrichment of uranium is ridiculous. And I got to tell you, as much as I support this president and what he's done, I understand the difference between the JCPOA, and I'm kind of offended by President Obama and even Senator Slotkin saying that this is similar to the JCPOA. It's absolutely not. The JCPOA allowed Iran to have some enriched uranium and allowed them to continue what was called nuclear operations within Iran, except they required the IAEA, which is the atomic agency, the International Atomic Agency, to come in and do inspections. This is completely different from the JCPOA because the president has stated before and on again that Iran cannot obtain a nuclear weapon. There will be no enriched uranium. The problem is that we're not going to be talking about that until for the next 60 days. So I don't know what agreement we actually have.
I'm so happy to hear you say it because you are unquestionably a great American. You are unquestionably a supporter of President Trump, as I have been.
His policies, yes. His policies, absolutely.
But here we are. And the other thing that's may seem not obvious to anyone but me, but Iran obviously does not like this president. Hate would probably be the right word. Why would they give him a birthday present? Why would they say, oh, let's tell him we've got a deal on his birthday? Remember how they screwed Jimmy Carter? Waiting until Reagan took off to release the hostages to screw him.
Yeah, different individuals, same mindset of the IRGC. But the key here is always watch out if it's a Trojan horse. And in this situation, I believe that the president may be negotiating for peace during his presidency, but we elected him to take care of the United States into the future. And I'm afraid that the next president or the president after that will be lax on Iran again. We'll do what President Obama did in 2015 with the JCPOA, and we will again be faced with a nuclear Iran. We cannot afford that. We need to get rid of this administration, this regime, once and for all, and create the peace that Saudi Arabia, Israel, Jordan, and Qatar in the UAE have been looking for.
Do this for me, because we still have Democrats that are saying, prove to us this is a better deal, that this is any way different or a better deal than what President Obama got out of Iran. Just sum that up and prove it to them so we can move on.
Real simple. The JCPOA, by the way, the title is Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. That's not an agreement. That's a comprehensive plan on action, and it allowed Iran to maintain nuclear infrastructure and allowed Iran to have enriched uranium. Some portions of enriched uranium. This president has said zero to enriched uranium, and that's a red line. And we know that one thing President Trump does, nobody crosses his red line.
All righty. Good for you, Rocky. God bless you.
God bless you, Paul W.
Rocky,
let's
pray for peace. Rocky Rajkowski, retired Lieutenant Colonel of the U.S. Army, telling it like he sees it on this peace deal that is supposed to be signed Friday. Neither one of us are putting any money down on that bet. It is 12:29 at 760 WJR. How about this for a breaking story? And it makes sense to me, at least. Former Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis is interested in becoming the next Michigan State Athletic Director if the university wants to have that conversation. You know, it's funny. I mean, things are so screwy up there. Just this past week, one of the trustees was saying they fully expected Jay Batt, to stay as the athletic director. Now the word is out there that he's already being considered for some other school. Do you remember what school it is, Mike?
I can't remember. Kentucky, and I think it's a done deal.
Already a done deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is. That's the rest of the story. Jay Batt on the job less than a year is leaving to become athletic director at Kentucky. Michigan State can be a challenge for somebody that comes in from the outside, according to Hollis, and he is right. I think Mark Hollis would be great to be back as the Michigan State athletic director. Let's see if they're smart enough to offer him the job. All right. That's the breaking news of the moment. Meanwhile, we've got other news, and Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall is here. And he's got some explaining to me to do because I don't quite understand what's going on. Mr. Speaker, welcome back. A pleasure to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
A deal was made in 2012, a Canada-Michigan crossing agreement establishing the legal framework for the $4.6 billion project was, quote, now said to be a bad deal and things have changed. That's a quote from you, and I'll explain where I stood. At the time, I said, why in the world do we want to get the state involved in building a bridge when we have a private entity, the Maroons, who've built bridges before and who were willing to take on all the expense themselves of building the bridge, and everybody shot that down. But I was all for it because I thought, gee, we could really run into trouble here. Well, it's a year late, and now we can't even get the thing open, and now we're disagreeing on a deal we all agreed upon. What? Tell me, please, what's going on.
Well, the original deal that was done kind of contemplated an opening about, if I recall, it was about 8 years ago. And it contemplated it being on budget. And what we've seen since then is the deal has been extended 8 years, and it's accumulated, I believe it's $4 billion of extra cost. And so when you look at that, and then you look at the recently announced toll.
Wait, look, just so I can keep track. So, yeah, 4.6, when I saw that, I thought, well, that's low. It was about $8 billion, I thought, and 8 years. So anybody who thought it was going to be on time and on budget has apparently never been involved in any construction of anything. However, that $8 billion, the four more billion, did that come out of our money or Canada's?
Well, the issue here is ownership rights. So the way that the deal is structured is Michigan doesn't get any toll revenue and doesn't get any ownership rights until the bridge is fully paid off.
Which was announced in the beginning, which I thought was ridiculous, but everyone knew it. It was not a secret.
Yeah, so, again, it was a bad deal. And the issue here is that in order to open the bridge, you need the United States government to issue a permit to open it. And so as the new administration has looked at this bridge, they've said, look, it's this is a bad deal for the United States. And the reason for that is we're never going to get ownership over the bridge, and we're never going to receive any money. Because if you look at the inflated cost, I talked about how it's $4 billion over the budget.
Right.
What that means is, and you look at the tolls they're charging, which are about half of the Ambassador Bridge tolls, if you assume that 100% of the traffic that goes across the tunnel and the bridge now, let's assume 100% market share goes to the new bridge, they'll never pay back the operating costs, let alone ever pay back the cost of construction. That means the United States and Michigan will never get ownership or any revenue from the bridge. That's why the deal needs to be renegotiated.
It's a deal that was foolishly accepted by all involved, except for a little talk show host in Detroit named me. And yet now people have the balls to step forward and say, well, wait a minute, we don't get any of the money. We don't get the tax benefits. We don't get anything except a bridge that lets people go back and forth. That's what they signed on for. Matt, you didn't do it. I didn't do it. But somebody representing us did it. And now we're saying, oh, well, geez, it took longer than we expected. That was not a surprise. It cost more than we said it was going to. That was not a surprise. And now we have to change everything. Why would they change everything at this point? They took all the risk and spent all the money.
Yeah, and you know, that initial permit they got came during the Obama administration. Rick Snyder was the governor of Michigan then. You know, I mean, none of those people are there anymore. And so as they're looking for this permit to open, I think, the president was very clear a few months ago in his tweet that he's looking to get 50-50 split on the toll revenue and also better terms on ownership. If you look at the Blue Water Bridge agreement, that's, I think, a good one to look at because that's a partnership between Michigan and Canada. You know, you can make improvements. You can lease things. You can buy, sell, transfer your interest. That's property rights. The deal that this was operating under doesn't have any of that until the whole thing is paid off to the Canadians, which will never happen under the current financial arrangement.
Look,
so they'll own it forever.
I know you didn't do this deal. I understand that. And now you're trying to help clean it up. If we had a great arrangement with the Blue Water Bridge deal that we had, why didn't we just do the same deal for this bridge?
Well, that would have made sense to do that deal, but we're here and they need President Trump to open the bridge. And I have a lot of confidence in our ambassador to Canada, Pete Hoekstra, and U.S. Commerce Secretary Letnik to get a deal here that benefits both sides and leads to this bridge opening soon.
Let me ask you a question that is a difficult one, maybe, but do you think this is fair?
I think it's the responsibility of our government to get the best deal that we can for the people of Michigan. That's who we represent, not the Canadian government. And I think it's fair for us to get a new deal given the challenges of this deal and what it's posing to us, never owning the bridge and having never getting any revenue.
Okay, we appreciate it. Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall. Anything else going on we should know about, sir?
I'll come back and tell you all about that other stuff. But we're working on a budget, and hopefully we'll get a good deal that cuts $800 million of waste, fraud, and abuse, and hopefully we'll get it done on time.
We wish you good luck on that, sir. Thanks so much. We'll look forward to the next conversation.
Thank you.
Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall, 1245 WJR. Well, there's a lot going on and a lot behind the scenes, but you're lucky you listen to News Talk 760 WJR, the great voice of the Great Lakes, because we're smack dab in the middle of all these things with all kinds of information going on. Now, of course, the big changes in leadership at Michigan State University. The university's athletic director is indeed leaving. And there is a well-known political name that is part of the conversation to take the president's job at MSU. We even have another name to take the athletic director's job, one of our colleagues. And WJR's Marie Osborne is here with the latest. Marie.
Yeah, I've been hearing you talk about this. So kind of wrapping this up for you a little bit here. Let's first talk about Jay Batt. He arrived just a year ago from Georgia Tech at Michigan State. But he leaves after reaching this agreement on a six-year deal with the Wildcats, where he'll also oversee a new affiliated business arm, which is tied to athletics revenue. And his departure comes on the heels of the former president at MSU, Kevin Guskowitz, leaving for Clemson in May. Michigan State has not named an interim athletic director, at least not now, but the speculation certainly has begun. Batt's exit was made easier by a contract clause that reduced his buyout following the president's departure. During his short time at MSU, Batt spearheaded major initiatives, including a billion-dollar fundraising push, long-term stadium renovation plans, and the formation of a new revenue-focused entity set to launch this summer. Now, getting to the piece about the president's job at MSU, which is right now unfilled. The outgoing U.S. Senator Gary Peters, an MSU graduate, he's drawing some attention as the school looks for its next president. Peters is not fueling the speculation. He's sticking to a message that his focus right now remains on serving the Senate through the end of his term. Although people have noted he has not denied any of this speculation either. So as you said earlier, a short time ago, Paul, Mark Hollis's name now is being floated as perhaps ex-Michigan State AD. Maybe he might return as the AD at MSU. He said he might be interested in that job.
I would think he'd be great to go back there. Let me make these decisions for the folks at MSU since they've had trouble lately. Make Mark Hollis, the new athletic director, back. Make Gary Peters the new president. And while I'm here, I'll help my university. University of Michigan, make Mike Duggan the president of University of Michigan. Okay, let's go to lunch.
All sewn up. Let's go.
Let's go to lunch.
Yep, done. If only it could be that easy, right, Paul?
It can be, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm really done. And, you know, really, your speculation is as good as anyone else's at this point. I mean, these are huge positions within our state. I mean, these are major universities that lead the nation, if not the world, in research, number one. Right. These are very, very important positions that need to be dealt with. And this AD job at Michigan State, they've been in turmoil since the Larry Nassar days. Yeah. They need to firmly turn the page and move forward.
Yeah, that's why I didn't suggest age-wise and otherwise, I bet people wish they had Luann Simon back in the position that she had. But that's another long story. There was always too much finger-pointing and blame and everything else. Knowing Luann Simon as I did, I never expected for a second that she was aware of these things and let them happen. I just can't believe that. But that's just my opinion at this point. And now she's probably past the age of where she'd want to come back. And I don't think they would have her back. But can I ask you another question about something we haven't talked about at all?
Okay.
I just had Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall on, and I thank him for coming on. He's in a tough position, apparently, being pushed by our president. That would be of the United States, the guy who has these cage fights on the White House lawn, who just celebrated his 80th birthday and is now in Evian? France, right next to Geneva. And none of them were involved in the deal that was agreed upon to build this Gordie Howe Bridge. And now they're making it so that we, Michigan, America, call it what you will, are going back on a deal that I said at the time, never should have agreed to in the first place, but we agreed. We signed the papers. Mm-hmm. And now we're going back and saying, well, we don't get any of the money, and we don't this, and we don't that. Yes, that's what you signed off on. Doesn't it make us look bad to go back now and say, well, I know we signed it, but...
I heard your chat, and I agree with you. We must move forward. We must move forward from this point. You can't go back and change. You just can't go back. I don't know, maybe the president thinks... You can. We talked to Jim Blanchard on Friday. I sat in for on JR Afternoon for Ryan, and he said, "Look, we made this deal. This is paid for. This is done. We're holding back on trade.
The clock is ticking. But you're right. I wish I would have heard that. We can probably hear that to conversation with Marie and Jim Blanchard on JR Afternoon online. We continue in focus." With another hour on WJR. Good Monday afternoon. It's hour number two of Relentless Positive Radio. You can stream us. You can come back and podcast us. I hope you will. That matters. At WJR.com or the free WJR app. Facebook, YouTube pages now streaming our live video right now. And if you were looking at our live video, you would see Mike Parsons looking down and working hard. You'd see a glamour shot of Danielle Mason. Oh, there she is. What happened? It was a glamour shot. Now we see you live. What changed? I don't understand how all that works.
I actually turned the camera on.
Off. When it was off, it puts up a glamour shot of you.
Well, I did that myself.
Oh, well, done.
At one time, it was just WJR. I was like, I don't like that.
So I know I don't have a glamour shot because there's no way to take a glamour shot of me. But anyway... We're all together here, the team, Mike Parsons, executive producer, Daniel Mason, Queen of the Switches, Rich Luzinski, our WJR traffic and weather first. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, because we know each day is a gift, we just need to be reminded. And reminded, too, of what Kim has told me about and reminded me about QTR, quality time remaining, and we don't know how much of that we have. I do want to thank you for being, choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Don't take it from me. Take it from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters with Ann Thomas's leadership and her team, the team, everybody, on air and behind the scenes, have made us once again the top radio station in the area, period. Caitlin Buss coming up here shortly. We'll look forward to that. A couple of quick things here. Mitch McConnell admitted to the hospital. It's not good when the only thing they say is he's under excellent care.
Right, kind of
it's
like...
not talking. I mean, it sounds like they're saying he's okay, but no, they're just saying he's under excellent care.
Right, it's kind of the same thing as resting comfortably.
Yeah, that's another one that you want to your ears peek up. 63 arrested after Knicks game crowds turned destructive near Madison Square Garden. That's just a shame. It's a shame because they won, and it was a fabulous tournament, one of the best, I think, ever. And what moves them to burn buses and do the destruction? I don't get it. It happened a long time ago. It's happened here. It's happened everywhere.
Well, and the thing about this Knicks team, they're a very, very likable team. And then, you know, the fans act this way. I mean, they attacked Spurs fans after game three. They threw eggs at star Victor Wembanyama. And you want to be happy for this team, but then the fans go out and it kind of dampers that a little bit.
It does. The president's name removed from the Kennedy Center. They were actually past the deadline, but they did apparently get it removed. We knew that Elon Musk became the world's first trillionaire with SpaceX's IPO. And there are so many articles out there explaining how much more $1 trillion is than even $1 billion. And we can't wrap our minds around $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion is unthinkable for most of us. $1 trillion takes it to a whole different level.
Yeah, they're like, he could spend this amount of money for the next however few hundred years and never run out of money.
Well, he could buy every athletic team in every sport and still have billions left.
Right.
He could, if he ever wanted to, I don't picture him stacking pennies, but if he wanted to stack pennies to the moon, it would go there and back four times or something like that.
I do love it when they use from the Earth to the moon as scale. Also, the equator, you know, how many times it would go around the equator.
Yeah, I mean, that's relatable.
Right.
You know, last time I went to the moon, I thought to myself, what if this was done four times?
Right.
Anyway, let's see. 12 dead after skydiving plane crashed right after takeoff. What a horrible story that was.
Yeah, terrible.
And then this is bizarre, little side story. Michigan's first new Jack in the Box in years has opened today. Oh, Danielle is cheering.
Yeah, she's going to be really excited when she hears where another one's going to be built.
Oh, I know where that other one's going.
Where?
Is it West Grand Boulevard?
No, it's the one in Westland.
Yeah.
Oh, right by my Jets Pizza. I'm going to be there every Tuesday and Thursday night.
Meet Danielle at the Westland Jack in the Box every Tuesday and Thursday night.
It's going to be
in
great.
In Monroe, yeah. A million years ago, in Monroe, for thrills, we used to drive, you know, back and forth up the main street, Monroe Street, and you do the loop at the Jack in the Box at the southern end of Monroe and the Jack in the Box at the northern end of Monroe. That was what we did for fun.
Oh, they used to have Jack in the Boxes here in Michigan.
Yeah. And I haven't been to a Jack in the Box in a very long time, but I remember the food being incredibly greasy, and that was okay.
Right.
It was okay. You know what I mean? It might not have been great for us. Okay. There's a lot of questions with this heat. What should I set my air conditioner to? And the experts are recommending, because we have heat indexes that are reaching 100. What are they saying? The U.S. Department of Energy recommends setting your thermostat at 78 degrees when you're at home.
No, I got to keep it 70 or below. I'm a baby.
Me too.
Yeah.
At nighttime, they say put it around 67 degrees.
That's quite a swing.
It is, but you should sleep in colder temperatures. That's what the sleep, what do you call it?
Sleep experts.
Hygiene.
Yeah.
Sleep hygiene says to sleep in a colder temperature, and I agree, and I've always done that. But I probably would pass away if I had to work in 78-degree temperature all the time. Yeah. I almost did out at the Cars and Cigars.
Oh, I bet.
85, 90 degrees. I thought I was going to die.
Right. You run hot. You notoriously like a cold studio.
I do. When is the Joppy Nooner on Lake St. Clair?
Oh, it's June. June 20, let me see. Why, you want to go?
No, I can't find it.
June 26th, last Friday of June, and then I guess there's a fall one the Wednesday after Labor Day.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. All right, very good. So, and by the way, I didn't remember that Juneteenth is an actual federal holiday. That's the end of the week here. That's this
Friday.
Yeah, this Friday, mm-hmm. the 19th, is Juneteenth, a federal holiday. I don't think we have that day off, though, do we?
No, we don't. I think it's optional. Like you could take MLK Day or President's Day or Juneteenth. I think it's one of those rotating ones where you pick.
See. All right. I do see Keith Newell saying there used to be a Jack in the Box on Mack Avenue just south of Vernier.
Well, I'm excited to try it because I don't think I've ever had it.
I have not had. I have not had a Jack in the Box in so long.
The line's going to be insane at first, though, since it's the first one around here.
Yeah. Free Press has a story. I've talked to Tom Izzo in person. We haven't talked to him on the air here in a while. Maybe it's time. It says, Tom Izzo sounds off on MSU's, quote, self-inflicted losses of its president and athletic director.
Yeah, I was trying to find the quote in it, and I don't know if it's behind a paywall or if it's a video only, but
I don't know. But I'll call him after the show. I'm not going to call him during the show because it's just too hard. But I'll call him after the show. Maybe we can. I don't know if he wants to talk about it or not, but we'll always give him a chance.
Right.
The UFC, by the way, the fight that I just don't think it should be at the White House front lawn. Whatever. Apparently, the people broke out in singing "Happy Birthday" to the president, which had to make him feel very good. And, you know, what the heck?
Yeah.
Knicks cement themselves as comeback kings en route to NBA championship. Yeah, but you have to say that. I keep saying it was one of the most exciting sports series that I've ever seen.
Yeah, they, I think I said in the first hour, I think San Antonio led that series 72% of the time. And the Knicks came back from 20 down. I think five times throughout the entire playoffs run.
Unbelievable. So. Unbelievable. And then the record of 29 points down.
Yeah.
Hey, I haven't talked much about it, but I don't know a lot about soccer. In fact, I don't know anything about soccer. But, man, did the United States look good against Paraguay.
Yeah,
maybe Paraguay's no good. I don't know. But we looked pretty good.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm probably like you, Paul. I drop in on soccer every 4 years or during the Olympics. But I had a heck of a lot of fun watching that game. I was into it.
Yeah, I was too, and I'm not usually.
Yeah.
I mean, for a game that goes 90-plus minutes and, like, one goal could be so exciting and that's the end of the game, it's like, really?
I know. I'm like, a 2-0 lead, that seems like it's insurmountable in soccer.
They did seem, the players did seem to be at least as good actors as NBA players,
right.
Who, when you see in slow motion that the elbow missed the guy's face by about 6 inches and he goes down holding his face in basketball, it's pretty much the same way happening there in soccer.
Yeah, they call it embellishing instead of flopping in soccer.
Embellishing. I like that. Finally, oil prices hit 3-month lows on U.S.-Iran agreement. So that wasn't on the front page anywhere that I saw. Let me see. Trump's legacy hinges on courts. Could the popularity of smartphones help explain declining birth rates? Could the popularity of smartphones help explain the declining birth rates? Look, I'm an old man, but if your phone takes you away from... Well, never mind. We got to go.
I thought maybe it had something to do with the radiation in your pocket, but
maybe that. I'll buy that. But the rest of it, come on. Are you kidding me? Oh, let me do this now so that we have no problem. And we don't like problems here, do we? Here's your chance to win a trip to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire in the city of your choice. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets, and premium VIP lounge access covered. It's your chance to sing along all night long with Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire. Prize provided by Live Nation. Text this hour's national keyword, WIND, to 95819. That's WIND, WIND, to 95819. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Play four times each weekday for four chances to win. Official rules and more information at WJR.com. It's 116. Always look forward to a conversation with Caitlin Buss, Deputy Editorial Page Editor for the Detroit News. Caitlin, welcome. Always, as I say, always a pleasure.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you.
Interesting. Couple of things to talk about. I mean, we can touch on Michigan State and the athletic director and presidency or Michigan. I mean, we can get back to all those things. But what we're really interested in right now is your story on the, I guess we call it an open mic, open camera moment with our governor, where she kind of admits blowing off public data center concerns. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, this is a real, you know, I still don't know how someone got into that event to record this specific conversation and everything and how it all came together. But, yeah, she was, you know, basically caught saying we're used to people saying, you know, widely understood to be an expletive, no, and we do it anyway. So to me, that just kind of summarized her governing philosophy. I mean, I really, it made a lot of sense looking back kind of at some of the decisions that she's made, which is, you know, I know there are concerns, I'm going to proceed anyway. And I think that's how she's governed. So it was an unfortunate moment. I'm surprised she hasn't clarified it, made any kind of statement about it. I think her philosophy is that ignoring it will make it go away, and that might happen. But I
yeah,
think
probably.
We saw,
I mean,
I think we saw her real sentiments.
It's interesting because oftentimes people do have to make a decision. Do I make a big deal out of it and say something, or do I let it pass?
Mm-hmm.
And now she hasn't left for this next European trip, has she?
No, I think she's in the country.
Okay.
But right, I mean, this unfortunately, I don't think anyone is terribly shocked to hear it, you know, out of her mouth. And so that kind of puts in context, you know, has she been a governor that's made consensus decisions and really tried to get buy-in and persuade people of her opinion and her policies, or has she just kind of bowled through?
Caitlin, in Caitlin Buss, in your Detroit News story, for years, the governor has cultivated an image as a pragmatic problem solver who listens to stakeholders, builds consensus, and then follows the evidence wherever it leads.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of flies in the face of that. And I look, to pretend that women can't brag, women in powerful positions can't brag like presidents or other men in powerful positions brag and sometimes get themselves in trouble by bragging. I keep thinking about President Trump coming off that bus with that Billy, whatever his name was. You know, who was she talking to, and was she trying to brag, saying we're used to people saying F no and then doing it anyway?
Yeah, I think there was probably some of that, right? I mean, these are huge, very influential CEOs with a lot of power, and she wants to be seen, you know, on that national stage in the way that she's kind of cultivated her image out there. And I'm sure, you know, she's a woman. I'm sure it's hard, you know, in a group of tech, you know, men-centered CEOs. Yeah, she has to throw her weight around. But I think it would have been great to have the people of Michigan, you know, behind her as well, and the people's concerns in that weight.
I think we're at a point maybe that you and I have just discovered and decided that we're at a point now where bravado knows no sex.
I think so. And, you know, I'm a woman. I mean, I get it. It's you when you're in that world, you kind of have to play by those rules. And but again, you know, this is something that's been widely, it's gone viral. I mean, I've seen it in a lot of places, and I think a lot of people may have heard it. So, you know, from a PR standpoint, I don't expect her to address this, but I think it's just unfortunate that we kind of heard it.
Do we have,
you can't put it back in the bag.
Do we have any idea of what her future plans might be? I haven't heard rumors.
I don't know at this point. And in all the prognosticating about president, it doesn't seem like she's going to meet the moment for Democrats there. I would be really surprised. I see her more behind the scenes as a power, broker in the Democratic Party on the national stage moving forward. I don't know that she'll land a high profile spot like she's had in Michigan, because again, once they dig down deeper past her national profile, they come up against these roadblocks of her accessibility, of her transparent, all these things that people in Michigan have commented on.
Caitlin Buss, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News, something we haven't talked about, and that is very quickly, I had Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall on earlier. I'm kind of disagreeing with him calling for a better deal before opening of the Gordie Howe Bridge. I was against the deal on the Gordie Howe Bridge from the beginning. I was like the lone voice in the wind. Now they're trying to change the deal we agreed to and signed off on. Do you think that's right?
No, I don't like moving goalposts. And we agreed to the terms, even though they're not great.
They were bad back then.
Yeah, I don't know what's gone into the delay, but I think we're starting to get a sense. And, it sounds like there's no quick solution.
Boy.
But, and Matt Hall's new to this part.
I said, Matt, it's not your fault. You didn't sign the deal.
Yeah.
And then he mentions that we had a great deal with the Blue Water Bridge. Well, then why didn't we just duplicate the Blue Water Bridge deal between Canada and the U.S.?
Yeah, there's some continuity that needs to be maintained. And I think that's been a problem here in Michigan, right, with our back and forth on policies for business.
Yeah. Caitlin Buss, deputy editorial page editor of the Detroit News, all-round good guy. All right, I'll say it. Good gal.
Thanks,
all the Tom. Different things she does. Thank you, Caitlin.
Great to be with you. Bye-bye.
Always great to have you on board. 1:29 at WJR. It's a pleasure, especially now after what an incredible weekend of sports, to welcome A.B. Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino. You hear it weeknights at 6 right here on WJR, the best sports talk show on the radio. Anthony, what a time to be majoring in sports, as you are, my friend.
Oh, Paul W., what an exciting time it is indeed. In fact, Lomas Brown just rode by me on a golf cart. We're out here at the beautiful resort at St. John's at the Cardinal for the 4th annual Calvin Johnson Charity Golf Classic that is taking place. Brad Holmes is out here playing a little golf as well. Lomas is out here waving and hugging ladies, kissing babies, doing the usual, running for mayor. And it's just an awesome time to be out here on the course. Made my way over here to Doyle's Irish Pub just on the patio because I said, look, Paul W.'s calling. I got to get out of the way, everybody. Let me get over here. We got to talk about the weekend that was Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Finals, UFC on the front lawn at the White House. I mean, what in the world is happening? RBC Canadian. I mean, how about that performance out there this weekend as well? I mean, it was a great weekend, but it's summertime now, and now that all the other sports are done, we have the World Cup. That's at least going on for another month, which has been fun. How exciting has it been, Paul W., to see all of the international, all the foreigners coming here to the United States of America and figuring out that, maybe we came to a conclusion that we've solved all of the world's problems. Have we figured out world peace just by playing the World Cup?
If we would just put all of our attention on sports, I think it would help. It would take our minds off all the other stuff. I was not a big fan of UFC on the front lawn of the White House, but so what? People enjoyed it. They went, the ones that wanted to go. God bless them. They sang happy birthday to the president, everything else. I've never been a big soccer fan, but boy, did I love watching our United States team beat Paraguay 4-1 in the first game of that World Cup action. That was worth watching. I lived in New York for 5 years. I used to say I was sentenced to New York. It wasn't that bad. We have two daughters living in New York. So to see the Knicks win their first NBA title in 53 years, that was exciting. In fact, I said earlier, AB, this might have been the most exciting championship series I've ever seen in any sport.
Oh, that's a tough one, Paul W., because that Stanley Cup final, it would give you a run for its money. But I will tell you this much. Jalen Brunson, who joined our very own Isaiah Thomas as only one of eight players in basketball history to have not only an NCAA championship, but win an NBA championship and be crowned the NBA Finals MVP. He was simply sensational in a closeout game when you absolutely need an incredible performance. He scores 45 points and the rest of his team scored 49. Are you kidding me? He almost outscored everybody on the floor at the same time. And just to only be 6'2" tall, at least that's what he's listed at. I really think that, you know, the performance that he had to beat Victor Wembanyama in the San Antonio Spurs, who led for over 70% of the series, for them to lose, that was simply incredible as well. And you think about just being a youngster in the sport and learning to kind of overcome adversity. They jumped out to hot starts in every single game. They need to learn how to close a game. And that's where the Knicks really, really flourished. When it was crunch time, Jalen Brunson really took over. And I think that the Nova Knicks is their nickname. Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, 10 years ago, they win a NCAA championship together as teammates at Villanova. And then a decade later, to win an NBA title as teammates for the New York Knicks, I think that's one of the greatest stories in all of basketball. And I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm not trying to be latest is the greatest, but that seems to be an accomplishment that I don't know offhand. And I tried to look it up last night before going on the radio earlier this morning, that, you know, I just don't know if that's ever been done by a trio of teammates before. I just think it's simply incredible. And for the New York fans that were able to celebrate and behave themselves accordingly outside of all the arrests that had to be made in New York, I mean, what a celebration it was.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. There were like at least 60 plus, 63, whatever it turned out to finally be. There were a lot of arrests, and that's really unfortunate. It happens now in every city. Win, lose, or draw, there are people out there that are just looking for an excuse to cause trouble. Burning school buses, how does that make any sense at all? But let's move on. So the Carolina Hurricanes win the Stanley Cup, and you say that was pretty doggone exciting too.
It was unbelievable. I mean, what great theater it was. Because you think about the hockey in general and the Stanley Cup Finals, you're talking about adding the element of a transition sport in basketball with the physicality of NFL football. And to see Jordan Staal, who won a cup in 2009, to then win again in 2026, all these years later, the gap there, simply incredible. And then to actually win a Stanley Cup with the same team that his brother won a Stanley Cup with 20 years ago is incredible. And for that team to be coached by the guy who, Rod Brind'Amour, who won the cup the last time the Carolina Hurricanes won it, as a player, Rod Brind'Amour, the Michigan State alum, that was incredible. And Brandon Bussey, the goaltender for Carolina, who made his first ever start in the Stanley Cup Finals after coming in relief in what was a game three or four, he was sensational. The Western Michigan Bronco gets a start, gets a win in game, what was it, four, five, and then ends up winning in a shutout last night. That was sensational for the Western Michigan Bronco alum. So a lot of Michigan ties for the Carolina Hurricanes, and Jordan Staal to win the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Conn Smythe Award winner at 37 years old, the oldest player to do so, makes me feel old, Paul W.
And you're so young. A quick one. Speaking of young, I don't know who this is. You might. He's like 16 years old, and he is a soccer player phenom that they refer to him as a young Messi, and he's going to be playing this week, and I think he's like 16 years old, and they've already signed him up for $30 million a year. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, are you talking about the Spaniard, Jamal?
Yes.
Yeah, he's sensational. This young man is unbelievable. And when they find talent that young, that is that good, they sign him, and they sign him forever. He is worth the price of admission. Enjoy him, because he is the second coming.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's just astonishing. I should have known you'd know, A.B. Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown Jr., and Anthony Bellino. It's weeknights like tonight at 6 on WJR. If you miss it, you miss the best sports talk show in the nation. Thanks, Anthony.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, Paul W.
You take good care. 146 WJR. Well, here we go. I think the day went by very quickly. You know, I think that's a good sign for the week. You know, I was saying before, we all felt it, that the months have gone by very quickly. Like, wow, are you kidding me? It's June 15th, midway through June. But then the week would go on and seemingly last a month.
it's only Tuesday, it's only Wednesday. But I think today went very quickly. I think we're into that now. What do you think?
Yeah, it's good to get back in the groove, too.
Well, we missed you. You were off having your some tests and such,
yeah.
But everything turned out well.
Yep, and I do have to say, Paul, Henry Ford Health has the most delicious baby aspirin in the industry. Tastes like...
What?
Yeah, it's maybe they do it so kids will take, but you know, it was a test on my heart, so I needed to have some baby aspirin, and it tastes like orange Tic Tacs. I said to the people, I said, "Don't tell me where you got these because I'm going to develop a habit."
I have never, ever heard such a thing.
I'm going to tell Bob Riney next time we see him.
I guess obviously they're chewable.
Yeah, though I didn't chew them, but yeah.
Well, so you're ruining my whole thing about why do they put sucralose and all the other fake bad for you sweeteners in pills, and you just talked about the flavor of a pill, in this case a baby aspirin, that you don't chew, that you just swallow, and yet you clearly taste the best baby aspirin you ever had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it is for chewing because haven't you said if you're having a heart attack, you got to chew the aspirin to get it.
I carry them in my pocket, and I'm glad you reminded us again. We've saved lives. Carry some full size regular aspirin in your pocket,
aspirin
in a little container of some sort. I've got a little container, although. Wait a minute. No, I do have it with me, but it's a little disc cylinder. No, not disc.
Danielle's got something she's showing us.
All right, and I'm showing you what I have.
Wow.
Cylinder. Looks like it could be a mini time capsule for the the next 250 years. You know what I thought about that? By the way, chew the aspirin if you feel you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Call an ambulance immediately, but chew the aspirin. Don't try to drive to the hospital. Real quick. We have a time capsule that's going to be opened in 250 years.
Wow.
And I see the guys explaining all the stuff. This is digitized and this is on this. What makes them think in 250 years anyone will have any of the equipment to play those little digitized things? They're going to look at that like we look at an 8-track or a
phonograph
whatever.
Or something.
Or a phonograph and go, whoa, how do we do that? So
just
a thought real quick. JR Afternoon, Ryan Armani coming up. Ryan, nice to have you back.
Here we go.
I was taking one of those fancy social media videos to throw up there, and I didn't even have my headphones on. I'm sorry, Paul.
Well, that's all right. I just wanted to say hello. I didn't get a chance to lately. So you had a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, and I hope you did too.
I did indeed. And now we're having a great week and very blessed to have all of our listeners with us. Stand by for news and JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. We'll talk to you tomorrow from noon to 2. I hope we can be together. Regards, Paul W. Smith.